This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. We'll call the South Dakota Senate State Affairs Committee to order. And welcome everyone that's in attendance and welcome everyone that is joined in on the internet to listen this morning. I would remind everyone to please shut your phones off or put them on wiggle so we have no disruptions. I think at this time we'll ask the secretary to call a roll call, please.
Senator Boland?
Here.
Greenfield?
Here.
Heinert? Kennedy?
Here.
Langer? Nerstup?
Here.
Youngberg?
Here.
Klum?
Here.
Ewing?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. I would, at this time, entertain a motion for approval of our minutes of our last meeting.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg for approval of the minutes. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, I would remind everyone, if you're going to testify today, to please sign in legibly at the podium. If you have any material to distribute to the committee, please use our able-bodied pages. And at this time, we'll ask our pages to come forward and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what your future plans are. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Maria Pazur. I'm from Highmore, South Dakota, and I'm going to Lake Area for carpentry.
Okay, thank you. Somebody must have sent our other one on an errand.
Probably Youngberg.
Yeah, no, I did.
Okay, the only other housekeeping is please direct all your questions through the chair. And at this time, we will take up our first bill. It is a Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. The title is Proposing and Submitting to the electors at the next general election an amendment to the Constitution of the State of South Dakota related to terms of office for members of the legislature. And at this time, we will take proponent testimony. Good morning, Senator Rush. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Art Rush. I'm a senator from District 17, and I'm a proponent of this. In its simplest form, this changes the legislative terms from 2 years to 4 years. I made it as simple as I could. There are states that have made their terms a lot more complicated than this. Some states have staggered terms. Some states have longer terms for the Senate only. Some states have two-year, four-year terms, which I seem to me would certainly complicate things. So I chose to leave this as simple as I could. 2 years to 4 years, and for both the Senate and the House. What I've handed out to all of you is a breakdown of what all the other states in the United States do. There are still 12 states that maintain two-year terms for their Senate. All of the other states have gone to some other variation of that, most of them four-year terms. All of the states surrounding us have gone to four-year terms, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana. Minnesota has a 2-4-4 system. Iowa, Nebraska all have four-year terms. The history of this is from 1889 until 1972 in our South Dakota Constitution. The governor and all the constitutional officers were two-year terms. In 1972, we passed a constitutional amendment changing the governor and the constitutional officers to 4 years. And then in 1973, in connection with that constitutional amendment, the legislature changed all the terms of county officers to 4 years rather than the 2 years. So, you know, it's pretty widely accepted that the 4 year terms were better than the 2 year terms. In fact, I was elected as state's attorney in my county in 1972 for a two-year term, and then 1974 for another two-year term, and then in 76 for a four-year term, and then in 1980 for a four-year term. So, and certainly, you know, the four-year terms I felt worked out better as far as some continuity in the office and being able to get your feet on the ground so you weren't just constantly running for election again. During the election, when I was campaigning, you know, I received repeated comments from people that I was campaigning to about, you know, are you up for election again? It seems like you're here every year campaigning. You know, I can't believe it's been 2 years since the last election. And, you know, I'm sure tired of these elections on this regular, every 2 years for this. So that's kind of what gave me the idea to do this, and then researched what other states are doing. And like I say, they're with the 4 year terms. You know, certainly that creates a little bit of a complication with our redistricting, but you know, there's, like I said, there's multiple states that have 4 year terms anyway, as shown on the handout that I gave you. And you know, I expect that what will happen is you know, when you do a redistricting, then at the next election you'll use the new districts. I don't think that's an insurmountable problem. But what it does, it provides some stability in government. You know, I think many of you who were here for your first 2 years realize that it takes you 2 years to figure out what's going on. And, you know, then when you're running for election. And, you know, second thing is, you know, it allows you, I think, a better opportunity to focus on what's important and not worrying about the next election coming up so quickly. But what I think is the most significant factor is that it restores some of the balance of the power between the legislature and the executive branch. I mean, you know, knowledge is power. And you know, when the executive branch people are in here and they've been here for a number of years, and we're getting new people every 2 years, that gives them a greater influence on those policy decisions because of the fact that they've been here and they have the continuity, and the legislature may not have that same continuity. So anyway, I think that this, you know, this proposes a constitutional amendment. The people would get their say on whether they wanted to go to this or not, and I would encourage you to support this and send it to the floor. Thank you. And I would stand by for questions other than the fact I've got other committee hearings too, but I'll try and stay until they come and get me from one of the others.
Well, does the committee have any pressing questions right at this time so that we can send the good senator on his way? Senator Boland.
Yes. Senator Rush, I believe I'm accurate in this. Are you aware that in only, I think it's 8, maybe 9 states that the governor gets to appoint members to the legislature when a vacancy occurs? You gave a very good historical rendition, but I think you, for whatever reason, that was not mentioned. Are you aware of that fact?
I'm not aware of the breakdown about how many states there are where the governor can fill vacancies.
Okay. I believe that information is accurate or very close to being accurate. And in the vast majority, I'll reserve my comments for later, but I'll leave it at that for that question. And then, do you have any comments on how you believe the redistricting process would take place under your proposal? Is that something that would be left up totally to the legislature?
You know, I thank you for the question. I think that the redistricting process, this does not change the redistricting process at all. The redistricting process would still continue. And after the legislature has redistricted in accordance with the procedures that are established, then at the next election of legislators, which could be 2 years after they do the redistricting under this proposal. And that's why I think Minnesota has this 244 procedure to try to avoid that. So you could have a redistricting and then 2 years before the next election after that. But, you know, there's obviously even more states where that's working.
Okay.
Okay, we'll
leave it at that. Thank you.
Shut it off there. And, Senator Kennedy, you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Senator Rush, a couple of questions, if I may. First off, thank you for handing out the information about the other states and the Senate terms. My question is, how many states, if you're aware, have the same length of term for members of the House of Representatives and the Senate?
I don't know the answer to that question. And obviously there were a lot of people who told me they would rather see a different, but for the House from the Senate, but you know, you got to get passage from two houses here, and I felt that would probably doom it if I yeah. tried to do that.
Second question, if I may.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The other question is on page 2 of your bill. You've added language regarding the limitation of a total of 8 years. It says does not apply. Or does not include, excuse me, any term for which the governor made an appointment to fill a vacancy. And my question is, would that allow someone who's been appointed to the office to then serve, in effect, 11 years? 3 years for, let's say they were appointed in the first year of somebody's term, and then could they run for two more after that?
You know, theoretically they could, because under this language, somebody can get elected twice on their own.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, further proponent testimony. Was there another question?
Yes.
Go ahead, Senator Northrup.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The way I read this is basically you go in the Constitution, you change the term from 2 years to 4 years, you make an effort to not change term limits, and then you leave the details up to the legislature in the future.
And that's what my intent is.
Thank you.
I sometimes think we have too much detail in our Constitution.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any further proponents on SJR1? Further proponents? Okay. Good morning, sir. You have the floor once you're seated.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Representative Lee Quam, District 21. I'm supportive of this concept. I can't add a whole lot more than what Senator Rush did, but it does seem like we are running constantly, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because we need to have contact with the people that we're working with. But with that said, it costs us a lot more money than need be. We could save money on that. But I think the biggest thing of all is that I think we would have a better opportunity to have more institutional knowledge. The first time I was here, it didn't take me very long to realize that we were victims of the executive branch. Very quickly, that was a realization. And if we have two-year terms, as the senator said, it takes you 2 years to figure out what you're doing and who you actually align with and who you believe in. And then you start all over again the third year if you get reelected again. And then by the fourth year, you kind of got that figured out, and then you start all over again. So I think we would be a better legislature if we had 4 year terms. So with that, you know, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. But I am fully supportive of the concept. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony on SJR1. Seeing none, do we have any opponent testimony? Opponent testimony, SJR1. Seeing none, we'll waive the rebuttal and close the hearing from the floor and offer it to the committee for questions and conversation at this time. Senator Boland.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I make comments?
Yes, you may.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think this is an interesting proposal, but I do think it's fundamentally flawed, and I think one of the biggest reasons I'm going to be in opposition to this is that this will inevitably give the governor more power over the legislature. I believe in the 8 years of the Dugard administration, we had, I think it was 14 resignations or tragic deaths that took place. And under our system, our government, under our Constitution, the governor gets to make an appointment. Well, I'm not necessarily going to be in opposition to that when it's a two-year term, but I have grave, that's not going to help the legislature if the governor's going to get to make appointees when inevitably there's going to be people who will be elected to a four-year term and who will say, I don't think I can do this. I'm going to resign. I mean, there is really no financial incentive for anyone to be here. Okay. So, And there can be all kinds of life changes that take place. There can be all kinds of circumstances can take place, which would cause a person to resign. And inevitably, there's going to be more resignations in a four-year term than there will be for a two-year term. In reality, when you're elected to a two-year term to the South Dakota legislature, you can fulfill almost all of your obligations in 15 months. You served the first year, and then at the end of the second year, if you resigned, it would have little practical application or complication for the legislative process. And you would essentially not be giving the governor more power over the legislature through the appointment process. So that's the first reason that I'm going to oppose this. The second reason I'm going to oppose this, among others, and I won't take up too much time, is that I think that it's very important that the public has the power to completely replace the legislature every 2 years. Okay? I tell that to people when I campaign. You know, people say, "Oh, you're campaigning again." I say, "Yeah, you can get rid of every one of us every 2 years if you want to." That is the that's a great power and authority the public has. Now, in reality, and I was just kind of running through things here. In reality, almost no one over the last 10 years, at least, almost no incumbents have been defeated. There's a lot of people who are who don't decide not to run again for a wide range of particular reasons. I was thinking back, and I'm not going to stand by all of these little numbers I have here, but I believe in 2012, only one incumbent was defeated. In 2014, I think there were two. In 2016, I think there was just one. And in this last election cycle, I believe there were just three. So it's not that we are having a whole bunch of incumbents defeated in a two-year cycle. It's that, you know, we have a lot of vacancies because people come here for a year, for 2 years or a four-year cycle, then they move on. And I just don't think – I think the public ought to have the power and the authority to replace all of us every 2 years. I still have – I mean, I think you could work out the redistricting details. In Minnesota, if I can just use this example, in Minnesota, every state senator is elected in years that are end in 2, 6 and zero. But if you're elected to a term that ends in zero, the year that ends in zero, you're only elected to a two-year term. And then the process starts along. That's why one of the reasons why right now Minnesota is the only state in the country, that has a House that's run by the Democrats and the Senate that's run by the Republicans by one vote. Because no Republican senators in a year that wasn't very good for Republicans, no Republican senator had to run this last year in 2018. Because the elections are only held in for the Senate in Minnesota in years that end in 2, 6, and 0. So I think that the I applaud the good gentleman, the fine judge from Vermilion for bringing this, but I just can't support this, and I would urge the committee not to put this on the ballot. The other thing I want to say, and I've said this numerous times in my time in the legislature, we are the filter through which we decide what goes on the ballot. And in this instance, because I believe this is a this is not the best concept for South Dakota, I would urge us to defeat this potential amendment and maintain the fact that the public, since statehood, has had the right to elect their legislators every 2 years. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions, discussion, or action? Senator Kennedy, did you?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I largely agree with my colleague from Lincoln and Union counties. I agree with almost everything the proponents of this proposed amendment said about the legislature. It's very difficult to get up. I'm starting my third year. And my first 2 years, they are correct. It was basically learning my way around. I feel like I'm now in a position where at least I'm relatively comfortable with what I'm doing. So for me, having a four-year term would be a benefit. But I don't think this is about us. I think this is about the public. And I've not heard anyone very clearly explain what the public benefit is in four-year terms. Like my colleague from Canton just said, I think the public likes the idea that they have the ability to replace us, even if they choose not to do it. And I don't care for the idea of campaigning every 2 years, but that's not about me. It's about the public and the public's rights. The other thing that I note is that, to my knowledge, South Dakota may not be unique, but it's somewhat unusual in that we have the same term for members of the House that we have for members of the Senate. To my knowledge, when I've been to national meetings, most states have longer terms for the Senate than they do for the House. And typically the reason is that they see some value in striking a balance, having one house of the legislature that has to answer to the public on a regular, frequent basis, another house in the legislature that maybe is there for a longer term to provide the continuity. Obviously, South Dakota has never elected to go that way, but I know from my conversations with people in my district, that's something that they are surprised by, because they're used to the national system, they're used to systems that other states have where there's a differential between Senate terms and House terms. So I guess on balance, I'm going to oppose the resolution because I just don't think that as it sits right now, I can go home and explain to the public how this is good for them. I can only explain how it's good for me.
Okay, further questions, discussion, action? Senator Nordstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've been having this debate for many years in the legislature as to whether two-year terms or a four-year term better serves the public. I think that the biggest weakness of the legislature's turnover, lack of institutional knowledge, and I think the best way to solve that is to go to four-year terms. So I'm in favor of this, and I'll be voting yes. But I think we're missing the point. The point isn't whether we decide this. We talk about giving the people the authority. Well, the best way to give the people the authority is to put this on the ballot and let them decide if a two-year term is better or a four-year term. So once again, you can be against a four-year term and still vote for this and be in favor of giving the people that decision. So with that, I'll be voting yes. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion or action? SJR 1. Senator Youngberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this, you know, I agree with the senator from Vermillion on this. When I was out campaigning, that's the biggest thing I heard was, oh, you're up again. You know, you're running again. You're out here again. And I also agree with the senator from Canton. There's a lot of stuff in here that could be looked at. And I think this topic needs more discussion. I think there's a lot of smart people in this legislative body, and I think we need to pull more information on this. So I would like to see this go down to the floor to further this conversation.
Chair. Okay. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we defer SGR 1 to the 41st legislative day.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Boland to defer SJR 1 to the 41st day. Any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the senator for bringing this forward. It is a discussion that's been had a number of times in the legislature. There have been different looks at this, almost without fail. It starts out that we're going to do something relative to the Senate terms as they do in Washington D.C. and then we throw the House in to try to curry a little goodwill and favor with them. But one of the most compelling arguments that was ever made to me as to why we should keep our terms short is that we remain in constant contact with the people. We don't lose touch, and we remain accountable continuously. I've run, I guess, 10 different times. I shouldn't say that. I've run at least 11 or 12 races now because of a couple or a primary or two. But, it's a burden. There's no question about it. It is a burden. A person has to stop his or her normal activities, take time off work, what have you, and make accommodations in order to get out and pound the pavement and press the flesh. But I think that remains one of the strengths of the South Dakota legislature. It is completely subjective too as to whether the short length of terms makes the South Dakota legislature weaker. I think that in a lot of cases it makes us more independent. We see the light at the end of the tunnel, whether we're going to be here for 2, 4, 6, or 8 years in one body. We know that we're elected to do the will of the people, to represent them to the best of our abilities for a time, and when that season in our life is over, we return home, and that will be true of everybody at some point. I mean, I've been here now for 19 years consecutively, and so you do the math and you realize, well, it means that I haven't abided by a 16-year total term limit. I did bounce a couple times, but that too. I mean, The people have that option, but I'm continuously presenting myself to them and asking for their approval one more time. A couple other things. If we were to do this, there would be a time frame in which there would be overrepresentation or underrepresentation for up to 3 years. Because of the process by which redistricting takes place, we would redistrict in 2021, 2031, 2041. It's not neat and clean as to as has been talked about here. You have currently every 2 years you run for election. So beginning in 2022 and 2032 and 2042, there will be a representation as to what the one man, one vote principle requires. Should this pass and ultimately the people pass this, every other decade, some districts would be overrepresented for 3 years, and some would be underrepresented for 3 years. You could probably make a pretty strong argument that it's rural South Dakota that would be overrepresented, and the more urban areas that would be underrepresented. For me, that's a good thing, but it does defy the one man, one vote principle. I would also submit that the effects of term limits, should this bill pass, will actually be more pronounced. Every 8 years, there will be, every 4 years, there will be certain people termed out. Right now, every 2 years, the natural cycle is that about one third of the legislature turns over. Because of the nature of something like this, those people will be subject to fewer elections, and more of the body will turn over when term limits take effect. So, for those reasons, I will be opposing the bill, and I will be supporting the motion to send it to the 41st legislative day. But this is one of those issues I do want to say. This is one of those issues that we should have a discussion on. This is a good debate to have. It's a healthy debate to have. I don't begrudge anybody the right to bring this forward, and if this ever passes, I'll be the first to jump up. Well, I can't jump very high, but I'll try to jump up and down and say, hey, I don't have to be pounding the streets as often anymore. But at this time, I will, again, be opposing the bill. Thank you.
Almost afraid to ask if there's any further discussion on this motion.
Everybody else had already opined, I think.
No, I haven't spoke yet, and I plan on it. Any further discussion among the committee? Okay, I'll take this time. I woke up this morning and looked at this simple bill, and I thought, this is a good idea. And what I hung my hat on that decision was the fact that I, too, like the good senator that spoke earlier, you come down here for that first two-year term, and you're basically standing in front of a open fire hydrant trying to get a sip of water, and you just about drown out. So it takes time to learn the process. And so I was in favor of it until I've heard all this other conversation. And I'm kind of caught in the middle, but I believe I'm going to probably support to defer it to the 41st day. So with that said, we do have a motion before us made by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Boland, to defer SJR 1 to the 41st day. All those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Boland.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Heinert. Kennedy.
Aye.
Langer. Nostrup.
No.
Youngberg.
No.
Klum.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
5-3.
Okay. SDR 1 will be sent to the 41st day. That's the conclusion of our bills for today. We have our next order of business is an executive appointment for Roger Music, Davidson County, Mitchell, South Dakota, to the South Dakota Science and Technology Authority. This is a governor's appointment, and I believe Mr. Scheibe's here to talk on behalf of this individual. Good morning. You have the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Aaron Scheibe from the governor's office. Unfortunately, Mr. Music was not able to attend today, so if you'll allow me to speak a little bit on his behalf, and certainly would be prepared to answer any questions you may have. For those of you who don't know, the Science and Tech Authority is the body that governs and kind of oversees the Sanford Lab and that facility there. So a very important role. I worked with them for quite a long time in my previous experience at GOED, and they do some excellent work on science out there. As part of the Science and Tech Authority, of course, they have a board, and Roger Music was appointed by Governor Dugard to the board back in September of 2018, and now is up before you for your consideration for advice and consent. I would certainly rise in support of that nomination and appointment and would urge your favorable consideration. For those of you who don't know Mr. Music, he was born and raised in Mitchell and graduated from Mitchell High School in 1967. After high school, he went to the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and received a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. So he's an engineer by trade, which I think makes him, I think, a good addition to the board overseeing the Sanford Lab and the science and technology that they do there. Following his graduation from Mines, he was one of the founding partners of Martin & Associates, which is an engineering, consulting, and software solutions firm in the telecommunications industry. And he helped grow that firm for almost 30 years before, in the late 1990s, he went out on his own and founded Innovative Systems in 1998. And Innovative Systems is a telecommunications company, designs hardware and software for independent communications providers throughout the United States. They've grown from fewer than 10 employees to nearly 200 in Mitchell, one of the cornerstones of that economy there, and a great employer in the community. Roger devotes his time to numerous boards and advisory councils across the state. He is, in addition to being appointed to the Science and Tech Authority Board, he's also a member of the South Dakota Council of Economic Advisors. And he, of course, through those activities and others, strives to make South Dakota a better place to live and work. He's a generous benefactor, a local leader, and industry pioneer, and in fact, in 2018, was inducted into the South Dakota Hall of Fame. He lives in Mitchell with his wife, Vicki, and they have 3 grown children and 5 grandchildren, all of whom reside in Mitchell. I think he's a really excellent choice for the board, would urge your favorable consideration and advice and consent, and would certainly stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone further from the audience want to speak on behalf of Mr. Music? Okay. You have the floor once you're seated.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson. I have taken my lobbyist badge off. Allow me to speak purely as an individual who's had the great fortune of working with Mr. Music and his amazing businesses that he has grown right here in South Dakota. Let me simply say that we should count ourselves very lucky that he is willing to spend his time, energy, and brain power helping South Dakota in this capacity. I would urge your favorable consideration. Thank you very much.
Further proponent testimony on Mr. Music's nomination. Seeing no further testimony, is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, I'll move this back to the committee for comments, discussion, and or action. And I wanted to make the motion since Mr. Music's from Mitchell, but somehow I got the gavel, so.
Okay.
Let the record show that the gavel has been passed again. And this is Senator Greenfield now wielding the gavel. Is there further discussion and or action?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Klum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move advise and consent on Mr. Music.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we advise and consent to the appointment of Roger Music, Davidson County, Mitchell, South Dakota, to the South Dakota Science and Tech Authority. Comments on that motion, Senator Klum. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've met Mr. Music only a handful of times in my life, but I understand from what he's done and what he continues to do for our community. He's a valued employer and a great asset to our community, so I urge your passage of this consent. Thank you.
Further remarks? Any further comments? Hearing none, I did do a little Googling, and I couldn't stop myself. I had the song running through my head, Please Don't Stop the Music. So a tribute to Rihanna and Mr. Music. All those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say no, and the secretary will call the roll.
Bolin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Heinert. Kennedy.
Aye.
Langer. Nostrup.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Ewing.
Excuse.
All right. 6 ayes.
The motion, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is declared passed. And we have completed the business to come before the State Affairs Committee today. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Been moved by Senator Youngberg, seconded by Senator Klum to adjourn. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. We are adjourned. Oh, and I do apologize. Come forward. If maybe we're still online.
We are.
Okay, we are still online. We do have the other page here, and as long as I have the opportunity to have you introduce yourself, I would like you to do so.
Okay. I'm Sarah Hemmingson. I am a senior at Webster High School. And is there anything else?
Where do you live?
Okay, I live in Bradley, super small town. No one knows where it is.
I do.
You do.
And what are you going to do in your future?
I'm going to enlist in the National Guard. So my first semester of school, I will be at basic training. And then when I get back, I am going to go to Minnesota State University Moorhead for business administration and public relations.
Very good. And it is, I should mention that Sarah does live in my district, but chose somebody else as her sponsor. But I had the pleasure of sponsoring her sister because her sister used to go to Clark School. Sarah has gone to Webster, and she chose the senator from that district. But it is a pleasure to have you here. We do thank you both for your efforts and wish you a good weekend and wish you well in your future. Thank you.